About it, and the more you think about it, the more it makes you want to go. Amen. What the Lord has got prepared for His bride. Amen. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, give them a big smile, tell them you're glad to see them in church this morning. God bless you. Good to see all of you in the house of the Lord this morning. Appreciate you. Good to see you in church this morning, buddy. Play some more of it, if you will, guys. Oh, go ahead and fellowship a little bit. It won't hurt you. Give somebody a great big smile.
days to labor, then this bride will take. I rapture.
Oh, she may chorus now. Because he's beautiful. I'm gone before you. And someday, oh, me, I'll stay.
Let's look at our prayer request this morning real quickly, if you will. The McFarlands want us to remember a little one-year-old child. I don't know exactly what the first name is. Divya or Dinah. I'm not sure about that name. Kurtz. She's in the hospital. They're asking that we would remember that child in prayer today. Brother Gary Ayers is having a stress test Wednesday. Pray for good results. Also, Brother Gary's father is in the intensive care unit with congestive heart failure. So let's remember those needs today. Brother Ben Davis requests prayer, not feeling well today. Let's pray that the Lord would be mindful unto him. I believe that's all of our written requests, all the unspoken prayer requests this morning. If you have something you'd like for this assembly to pray about, we just commit these things unto the Lord. Brother Amos, come this morning, pray over these prayer requests. Let's invite the presence of our Lord into the service. You know, it's just a real privilege and a real honor to be in the house of the Lord today. You consider that a real privilege? How many of you really feel privileged to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen, Brother Amos. God bless you today, buddy.
Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, this morning as we bow our heads and our hearts before you, dear God, we're thankful for your word that come to us last evening, Lord. Father God, we're so thankful for your divine program. We know, dear God, it's sufficient, Lord. And many times we feel like we're deficient, Lord, but it's because of our understanding, lack of revelation, Lord. And Lord, further we go, we can't help but see, Lord, we are absolutely in good hands. And Lord, this morning, Lord, it's so wonderful to be in this place of worship, Lord, knowing that some have made a great sacrifice to be here this morning, Lord. Dear God, pain in their body, Lord, but dear God, something down on the inside, a craving desire for the Word of God. They just can't stay away. Lord, may we always have that desire, we pray. God, Lord, as we bring these requests before you this morning, dear God, we're thankful, dear God, that you're a prayer answering God. And Lord Jesus, we thank, dear God, of this dear child, Lord. It's 1 year old. We don't know the condition, Lord, that's going on in its body. But dear God, you know. And dear God, the ones that was requested, I believe it was for Brother Gary, Lord, going for the stress test to his father in ICU, dear God. Lord, we look at all these things, Lord, that's coming up against us, dear God. It's coming and afflicting these bodies. We know that Satan has his punch coming. But Lord, at the same time, help us to recognize and acknowledge and, Lord, take our position and put the devil in his place and not sign for these things, dear God. We realize, Lord, we don't know what may lay ahead of any one of us this morning, dear God. But may we exercise our full rights as a son or daughter of God. And Lord, may we claim these promises, Lord, dear God. May we not subject ourselves to symptoms, dear God. We ask it, Lord, you would strengthen these folks, Lord. We ask that you would heal them, Lord. Help them, we pray, dear God. No doubt, Lord, these bodies are a hybrid. They're breaking down. They're aging. They're getting older. But dear God, you're the promises unconditional, Lord. Dear God, regardless of age, regardless of hereditary conditions, Lord, we ask that you would be with each and every upraised hand, Lord God. We ask that you would touch them for your honor and glory. Those that are out there on the internet, across the world, dear God, that's joining us by DVD or wherever they may be, dear God, we ask that you would answer their prayers. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name, your blessing on our pastor this morning. We ask it for your honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Amos. God bless you this morning. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering. you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting today with us in this service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have each and every one of you here. We're going to cut our congregational singing just a little bit short this morning. We've got some specials that we're going to enjoy, and I know you're looking forward to that. Let me make just a couple of announcements here, and you take this as just something that I've been asked to do, and I'll do it in love this morning, and I hope you'll take it that way. But we're having some issues over at the pavilion. The pavilion is a privilege that we all enjoy. It's not anything but that. And we're just having some issues. Lights being left on, doors left unlocked, the gate being left open. So please, if you go to the pavilion and use it, make certain that all the doors are locked when you leave. Make certain that the gate is locked when you leave. That's not asking too much, is it? That's a real privilege. I know our young people and even some of the other folks here in the church, they use that regularly, and it's a real joy for them to get to go over there. So let's take care of it. And our brother Bobby Short lives there, but he has to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to work. And he can't stay up till whenever you leave to make sure that everything's taken care of. So just take care of that, if you will, when you leave. If you go in a group, make certain that you appoint somebody to make sure the doors are locked, all the lights are off, and the gate is closed when you leave there. Will you do that?
Yes.
Amen. So let's remember that. Also, there will be a trustees meeting this morning after the service. Remember that. And I think the time for the pavilion hours through the week is 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock p.m. It needs to be closed down. And the weekends, like on Sunday night, at 11 o'clock. So remember that. 10 o'clock through the week, 11 o'clock on the weekends. The pavilion will be closed at those hours. So enjoy it. It's yours. And take care of it. Okay? All right. Let me do this. Brother Danny Therese wants to wish Sister Phoebe a very happy 12th wedding anniversary. So that came in late. So we just, that's against our rules to do that. But Brother Danny, you're such a good guy. And knowing that Sister Phoebe would probably kill you, graveyard dead, after church, if you didn't do it, we'll make an exception to that this morning. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, I am glad to be a Christian. Somebody say, I love everybody here. And somebody say, I'm trying my best to do that. Now give the Lord a big hand clap of praise if you love Him. Amen. Oh, He's a good God, isn't He? Be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Let's sing a little bit of that song this morning. We'll have our specials. You this morning. I'm going to let you be seated. We're going to have, it's 20 after 11. I believe we can have these things done by 25 to 12 if the singers will sing fast. And these guys will play for them. Brother Andrew Johnson, he's been on the list for ages and ages and ages to sing. And I get requests for him to sing. And I tell people I've asked him and he's working on it. So he's ready today. Then I want Brother Brad, Sister Sarah, how they have it arranged. And then Brother Brandon Green, and he, I think they put a group together, a trio together somewhere. I don't know exactly what they're going to give us a song, but let's give our singers a real nice hand this morning as they sing.
So long I have searched for life's meaning enslaved by this world and my greed. Then the door of my prison was opened by love, the rest. was paid and I was free. I am free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free. From the guilt that I carry, from this dull and empty life, I'm set free. Oh, when I met Jesus, He when Jesus was here, He gave us the words of eternal life. And He gave us His peace. And He said, I'll not leave you alone. And though I wasn't there when the multitude, they watched Him ascend, well, two angels in white, they announced that He would come back again. What a blessing it was just to be a part of that crowd that were gathered there that day, just to see Him go up and in clouds see him taken away. But I know in my heart that a greater blessing, it waits now for me. 'Cause I'm part of that crowd that's been watching the sky faithfully.
Just what I'll be.
echoes in my soul. I hear the music ring. And though the storms may come, I am holding on to the rock I cling. How can I keep singing your praise? How can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love. How can I keep from shouting your name? I know I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart want to sing. I will lift my heart in the darkest night, for I know my Savior lives, and I will walk with you, knowing you'll see me through and sing the songs you give. How can I keep from singing? Troubled time, sing when I win. I can sing when I lose my step and I fall down again. I can sing 'cause you pick me up, sing 'cause you're there. I can sing 'cause you hear me, Lord, when I call to you in prayer. I can sing with my last breath, sing for I know that I'll sing with the angels and the saints around the throne. How can I keep from singing your praise? How can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love. How can I keep from shouting your name? I know I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart. I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart want to sing.
Loved by him ought to make anybody that can't even sing want to sing. You can be seated for just a moment. We've got a baby to dedicate today. Brother Scott and Sister Rachel Hickson, if they'll bring their new addition to their family, and we'll dedicate it to the Lord today. Lord Jesus, as we stand before you today, dear God, we realize what an awesome responsibility my brother and sister have in their charge today. Here with these three little ones. We know, Lord, much of what our children become, it's not really all programmed in them at birth. It's not all predetermined, but much of what they become will come from the input of the family that they come from, the people they're around, the places they go, what they hear, what they see. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd help my brother and sister. We realize that we call this a baby dedication, but most of the time, really, it's as much on the parents as it is for the children. So I pray, Lord, that you would help them to faithfully do their part. Lord, we want to bring their little child to you today, into your presence, for them to be able to acknowledge to you they need your help, your counsel, your guidance, to be able to present his life. Lord Jesus, I pray, if you should tarry, would get old enough to be sensitive towards you, to reach that age of accountability while his heart is tender, may you be able to move upon it, Lord. Keep it from the evils and the wickedness of the day. We bring his little life to you today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you can stand. Y'all about like a bunch of race horses. You just, as soon as the preacher gets out, you're ready to go, ain't you? Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. We have a very wonderful and a very serious thing, too, that we want to look at today by the help of the Lord, and that is rapturing faith. We believe that we're living in that time when it's certainly going to be needed to take us from this world. Let us read about the first man who experienced this type of a situation. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. So the first example of rapturing faith. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Now the equation is not all God doing it, neither is it all Enoch doing it. But actually it's a combination of both doing their part. May God help us. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love you today. Father, we thank you for the songs that we've heard, the prayers that have been made. Lord, now we've come to what we feel is the most important part of the service, that is the preaching and the hearing of the word. We need you today, Lord. I confess to you and before these people, I need your help, Father. I'm not capable, Lord, of being able to do anything of eternal value without your help. Lord Jesus, I pray you would help me to be able to get out of the way. I know a gift that you place in a person's life. That's the very reason that it's there. Lord, it's for a preacher, it's not that when the anointing comes on him, that he can be magnified and thought great in the eyes of the people. But actually, it's the Spirit of God coming upon that part of yourself, which does not magnify the man, but it actually does the opposite to help get the man out of the way, so that you can use that part of yourself that you placed in that man's life. So I pray, Lord, that you would help me today. I do as I normally do. I've studied, I've prayed, I've meditated, I've thought to just a couple of minutes before even walking out that door to make sure, Lord, that my spirit would be full, my heart would be right, my soul would be charged. So I pray, Lord God, that you would help us today. But Lord, it won't do much good if you just get me out of the way. And they're not out of the way to hear. So I pray that you'd help them as well. May they be able to understand they have a great important part to play in every service. For they're not here just to fill up a spot in a pew, but they have the ability to hear and receive. And it is them that helps activate that gift. So move upon all of us today, I pray. May we be benefited by our gathering here, Lord, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Rapturing faith. Is it a faith different than any other kind of faith? Is it a faith that's different than divine healing? Or faith for salvation? Faith for a miracle? Faith for your finances, for your children? Or is it the same kind of faith that just moves in a different channel? Actually, the Bible does not use the term rapturing faith or raptured faith or faith for a rapture. So it's entirely a message term. Yet we have a good view, a good idea of a couple of men who had a private rapture and the type of lives that they lived before they were able to enter into this rapture, which gives us an example of what God will require for those of us that are believing, as I hope most of you are, that you're going to be in the rapture of the last days. And Enoch was a special type of a man. Now, not so much that his flesh was different than other people of that day. He was of the right seed line, but so were many of the people that he preached to, which were lost. You see, Enoch was different from all of the rest of his own family. Now, as far as being seed line and of the seed nature, if that's the way the rapture would have come, then all of his friends, relatives, wife, children, grandchildren, and so on, they should have went too. But actually, none of them did. So he has brothers, he has nieces, nephews, he has all types of relatives. Because remember, these people live to be hundreds of years old. Now he doesn't father a child until he's 65. And then he lives the rest of his life after that consecrated to God. And we know by office and position that he was a different person than all the rest because he was a prophet. But that within itself does not allocate to you rapturing faith. Being a preacher, being a singer, being a deacon, trustee, that does not give you any privilege to have rapturing faith above any other son or daughter of God. So this man, how was he able to enter into this place to have rapturing faith? Was it something that was totally sovereignly done? That he actually didn't have anything to do with it at all? That really he just lived any way he wanted to live? Talked the way he wanted to talk? Went where he wanted to go? Thought the what he wanted to thought? And because he was a seed, that God just overpowered him, overwhelmed him, and took him in the rapture. You believe that, you're a Baptist. You don't believe this message. But was it on the other side to where Enoch was constantly in the form of legalism, trying to please and appease and do and get so that he might get divine favors? Was it that he served God under the constant pressure, the mental pressure of servitude? And that every day of his life that he was so scared to death of God, that he would do something wrong or so terrified of God, that he would go to hell? That's just as wrong as the other side.
So what kind of a walk then did this man portray? Did he have an element of legalism? He did. But did he also have an element of grace? He did. Well, you say, how could he have both? That is always God's way. The middle of the road is the most difficult place to find. It's much easier to be legalistic or to be on the other side of overboard on grace, but the bride will find right the middle of the road and have both. I want to be legal when I need to be legal. I want to be all of that, but I want to have grace when I need grace. I honestly realize I need both. And you do too. Now, this man was chosen, of course, for a specific cause and purpose. But yet, it was not all divinely or sovereignly done, in so much that the man himself didn't really have any part to play in it. We know that God demands obedience of His Word, and God demands an element of reverence, and God wants a pious charity from the hearts of His people. But yet, when we've done all that we can do, there still must be a divine element that comes, or the results will not be just what we read. Because if you'll notice in the way that Moses harmonizes this presetting of this rapture, it is a walk on the part of the man. It is an obedience on the part of the man. But it is also on the part of God a desired relationship and fellowship. And an intimate part that God pulls this man into. And then God is so pleased with the way this man has lived that God vindicates this man that he is his by taking him. Now, you and I can say, well, I believe, and I'll tell you one thing, I'm this and that and the other, but really when it's all said and done, those who have pleased God the most in this day will be taken from this earth. It's quite simple. But you don't have to wait until then to know that you're pleasing God. Now, let's look at this again, if you would, in verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, the name Enoch actually means dedicated. So his parents were no doubt led when they named him because his name was his destiny. And in his destiny, of course, lay his future. But in this, his destiny and his future tied together into the sovereignty of God. But it was not all planned out to where that the man did not have choices to make and things that the man must do. Now, we don't want to go to predestination to where we take it to fatalism. And as a matter of fact, Brother Ben tells us that there is a predestination that is rotten doctrine. Some of y'all ought to know because that's the way you believe it here at this church. You basically believe you can do anything you want to do, live any way you want to live. And if you're ordained to God, you'll be there. You'll go straight to hell with that mentality. There'll be nobody walk down the streets of gold who believes such rotten nonsense. If you're predestinated, my friend, there is a predestinated life that follows a predestinated seed. And if you don't want to live that life, what I tell you, you better get to praying very, very soon. Right. Now notice his name did not mean loose. His name did not mean free for all. His name did not mean free love. It did not mean he can do whatever he wanted to do. It meant dedicated. Right. Now, Enoch lived. Now, I want you to listen to this. Enoch lived every day as if he was constantly in God's presence. Now, this was not the mindset of the majority of the world at that time. Now, remember, at this time, there's seed lines upon the earth. And God is not yet, by the antediluvian destruction, destroyed the world. So there's two separate seed lines that are living on the earth. There's Cain's seed, and then there's Seth's seed. But Enoch not only faced difficulty from Cain's side, but he also faced difficulty from the message. I mean from Seth's people. It wasn't just Cain's lineage that stood against Enoch, but can you imagine Seth's line also? None of them went in the rapture either. So he lived unlike the way they lived, to where they thought God came and went and came and went, and you'd go to a temple somewhere or a place set aside, and there you in God's presence, so you act really good. You know the way folks do in church? When they come to church, oh, glory to God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Boy, as soon as they go out that door, they're a different person. It's amazing how they don't. I guess they don't understand that God watches everything they do, listens to everything they say, the way they behave at home, the way they behave on their computer when nobody is looking. He's always watching. But you see, Enoch had an understanding by the revelation of God that this presence of God never left him. And he lived in such a way as if God was watching every move. Now I want to ask you a question. Don't raise your hand. But I want to ask you today that if you felt like and knew that God was watching absolutely everything you do, would you behave differently? Now, how come some of y'all will do certain things outside of church that you won't do in church? Or you'd do certain things if I was around you. You'd put on a certain demeanor, a certain behavior, that if I wasn't there, you wouldn't raise your voice. I say it many times whenever I counsel folks, and more husbands and wives, you can tell they're professional fighters. But they're acting like little bitty lambs when they're in front of me. You know, they just kind of tap one another, and they're so courteous, and I get so tickled when I see it, because I know they're hypocrites. It ain't nothing but a show. Woo, glory to God. Now listen, friend. Enoch lived. He was able to understand that every day of his life, that God was watching everything he did, everywhere he went, everything that went out of his mouth. God knew it. And this is the way this man lived every day. I just described to you the last day bride. Amen. You see, to walk with God was not only a duty, but his greatest pleasure. Many of you don't do this and don't do that and don't do that, but why don't you not do it? Why do you not cut your hair? Why do you not do this, that, that? Because you're afraid. You're scared you'll go to hell. You still don't have the right degree of love yet. You're not bride ready. I said you're not bride ready. You're not ready for a wedding. You're not ready for a marriage supper. You're not bride ready. You're still doing it under legalism. He wants you to do it because you love him. Now watch this. The Bible says Enoch walked with God and he was not. So to walk with God was his highest duty. His highest honor and responsibility, but his greatest pleasure. You see folks and they obey the word and you can tell they're so stinking miserable. They hate it. They got to dress a certain way. They got to go to church. They got to think, what in the world's the matter with them? And people go out every Saturday night and they get as drunk as a dog. Some of them will get sick. They'll vomit half the night. They'll get up this morning. They're sick. They're so wore out. They've been high as a kite all night long. And now they've come down on Sunday morning. They're so mean. The devil couldn't even live with them. And yet, you know what? They'll do it again and again and again. And they cannot wait to do it. And here we have eternal life, eternal health, eternal joy, eternal peace. And folks act like they're going to the slaughterhouse. That's not a man that's rapture ready. If you only go to church because Brother Bam said you should go to church, you need the Holy Ghost. Now what's to walk with God was not only a duty, a responsibility, but the greatest pleasure of this man's life. God vindicated him by taking him. Now, the Bible says here that he was not, for God took him. He ceased to be among men. For God took him to heaven. Now, according to Jude, which only has one chapter, chapter 1, verse 14, Enoch, we know, was a prophet. So he had a spot with God that everybody else in that day, of course, would not have had. But yet this man was not only given this special place because he was a prophet. But there was something about the inward behavior of this man that reflected a divine order. Now remember, not out of the order of legalism, but out of the order of the law of love. So his conversation in the world was that which was pleasing to God. His practice was that which was pleasing to God. But yet everything was not cheery in that day. It wasn't that everybody, oh, God bless you, Brother Enoch, you're such a great man, everybody loved him. They hated this man. Can you imagine the devil in that day hated this man like no other man on the face of the earth? Because he was the most pious man, and because of this, he could not keep it to himself. Amen. A real Christian does not want you to look for him. You say, well, why do I do wrong? And people preach at me and they preach at me. It's called L-O-V-E. I love you enough. I'm not going to stand here as your pastor and watch you go straight to hell without screaming and hollering and stomping and ranting and raving and doing everything I can do to try to stop you. I'm going to do everything in my power to try to stop you from being lost. Enoch's soul was weaned from the vanity of that age. No doubt he felt very perplexed. Now, sometimes you feel alone, right? He was truly alone. Look sitting around this morning. Hundreds of people in this place. To hear these words, they'll not be strange to us. Because we can relate to them in one degree or another. But what if you lived in that day and you was the only one, the only one who knew the truth of the hour? You had no one to fellowship with. Even your wife thought she was a little bit, you know. Your children, your nieces, your nephews, your brothers, even the folks you went to church with that were of the same seed as you were. And every one of them thought you were very, very strange. He was not strange because he was trying to be peculiar. He was considered strange because of his walk. No one to talk to. No one to encourage him. No one. Hey, go to church. Go to this church. Go to that church. Nobody. Nobody. Could relate to the way the man was feeling. Why am I feeling this way? What's wrong with me? Everybody else is happy just doing their own thing. Why do I feel the way I feel? Notice this in Jude verse 14. And Enoch also the seventh from Adam prophesied of these saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. So Enoch was a prophet and he prophesied. Did you ever wonder where Jude got this at? It's not mentioned in the Old Testament. It's not mentioned in canon history. It's not mentioned in the ancient Jewish books. Commentators are still profoundly confused to this very day to wonder where Jude got this. But you see, once you're tied into the same family, it ain't no problem for you to hear what a prophet's already said. Now remember who Jude is. The foster brother of Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing? He's got the smallest book in the New Testament. Of course, if that had been Message, folks, we'd made him have the biggest. Shows you how Jesus relates to the flesh. How come Jesus didn't make the whole Bible called the Book of Jude? How come he didn't make actually his family? Because that ain't the way God thinks. So here is this foster brother of Jesus Christ, and he's able to catch what Enoch said, oh glory, and what he prophesied about, and identifies him in the right age as being the seventh from Adam. So here the seventh from Adam prophesies about the last day rapture, when he himself is going to be the first one to take a rapture. Now, but Enoch's message wasn't always cheery, beautiful, and sweet. Verse 14 pertains to the rapture, but verse 15, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed. Boy, he hung up on that ungodly, wasn't he? Amen. Ungodly among them, ungodly deeds, ungodly committed of all their hard speeches and ungodly sinners. Amen. Sound like a serious preacher. Yes. Glory. Yes. Now notice, he not only brought a message of great understanding and revelation, but a message of judgment and condemnation. Amen. But it was his business and his happiness to live for God. No doubt Enoch went to family functions. No doubt they had dinners. They had different things that went on in that day. You know how people are. Humans are social. So no doubt they've always had social things. And Enoch would go, but he was a stick in the mud. You know, just kind of sat over in the corner. Everybody's talking about the rodeo or everybody's talking about this football game. Can you believe they paid so-and-so so many $1 million? Can you believe they've sold? Can you believe? And here is Enoch saying, Lord have mercy. Is this all we can talk about? Ain't there nobody here wants to talk about Jesus? Ain't there nobody here wants to talk about his word? Ain't there nobody here wants to talk about where we are? Here he is, and when God takes him, he's really a young man by these standards. Prime of life. Why would God want to take him when there could be so much yet done? A young man, relatively, for that time frame. But you imagine the closer he got to God, the more miserable this man become. And God looked at him and loved him with such a degree of love. He said, I can't stand to see him under this no more. I wonder if we couldn't move his heart. I wonder if we couldn't move his heart. If he hears some more of us saying, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Lord Jesus, come quickly. Instead of hearing us talk about this and talk about that and talk about something else which has really no eternal relevance at all. If he'd hear us, oh Lord Jesus, come. If he'd hear us in our closing, Brother Jim, and hear us crying out, oh God, how much longer? How much longer? Notice this. Brother M said, we've got to get to a place that we'll be translated like Enoch was. That's right. Faith, testimony, that it pleased God. Did not Enoch, our following scripture said that Enoch had a testimony by faith that he pleased God. Is that right? And the Bible said without faith it's impossible to please God. So you've got to have the same kind of faith that you believe and know. Notice, Moses says in Genesis 5:24, Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. I love this word, took. It means to take, get, fetch, lay hold of, seize, marry, take a wife. Very similar to the same Greek word that we looked at last night in 1 Thessalonians 4, called up. Amen. To seize, to catch away, to take as one's property. Amen. Now look at the driving force now behind took and called up. It is divine, purely divine, not a mixture of divine and human. Took and called up is divinely orchestrated. Don't you understand? If God waits on us, if God waits on us human beings, there will never be a rapture. Hallelujah. So God took him. Now let's come over to the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5. Here Paul, we've been looking a few Wednesday nights on these heroes of faith. Paul here writes about Enoch. Now notice how he writes and what he says. By faith, Enoch was translated. Now, Paul does not say rapturing faith, changing faith, raptured faith, resurrection faith. But he uses the exact same term, pistis. That's what the Greek word for faith is. The exact same word that he used for Abraham, Sarah, Noah, Jephthah, Gideon, Barak, Samson, David. Amen. By faith. So what kind of faith was it? A faith of an everyday walk. Now, not something that he lived a so-so life up to a certain point, and then at that certain point, something divinely come from somewhere out yonder and come in and interacted in all of his weaknesses and all of his failures and supplemented his lack. I'm sorry, that is false doctrine. But by faith, amen, Enoch was translated. Which means remove, change, to transpose two things. One of which is put in the place of the other. Thank you, Lord. One of which is put in the place of the other to transfer. To change, to go or pass over. So by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Lord, children, does anybody here believe today that there's people sitting in this place that's going to experience the same thing? That two things will be moved around, transposed, one place and the other, and that we will actually never see death. Our heart will never actually stop beating in that sense. It'll never actually go to the face of death, but we will be changed. He never experienced death. It didn't come up his sleeve, his heart. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. He's just out walking. Hallelujah. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, mighty Elohim. I just love you so much. And he crossed the line. He didn't know it, but he crossed the line. It was the line, say right here, and he was actually, once he crossed over, he was closer there than he was back here. So God said, come on. Come on. Amen. What was it? Everyday walk? Not some superficial something or another that he had to struggle and labor. It was an everyday walk. He walked with God. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. Which means people were looking for him. You cannot be found if nobody's searching for you. You cannot come up on the missing list at Walmart and your picture up on the board there unless somebody's looking for you. So apparently after a while they said, honey, right, daddy. I mean, he always gets out there and shouts and runs and carries on. You know how he is, poor feller. That ain't like him. He always comes home for supper. He went home for supper. Yeah. Glory. That ain't like him. There's something wrong. And maybe he fell out there. Maybe he's hurt himself. You boys better go out and look for your daddy. Call so-and-so. Uncle Enoch. Poor feller. He's went off somewhere. I kept telling y'all he's messed up. He's out of this world. You got that right. He ain't like the rest of us. You got that right. He don't like being around us. He don't feel comfortable. You can tell he just don't feel comfortable. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because Enoch had rushing faith. Enoch labored and labored and prayed and read his Bible and Enoch because God translated him. Many of you have never been overseas in missionary trips. You've never seen how preaching is. How can it be over there in those places? Well, when I get up and start ready to preach, and there's two or three different people, tribal languages and whatever more in India whenever I was there, Brother Visco, several years ago, we had two translators on the pulpit beside me, one to my left and one to my right. And then there was a little group over here with another, and a little group back there with another, and one over here and one over there. All of them were translating. Now, you can imagine me talking 95 miles an hour, trying to slow down enough for them. Got this guy on the left and this guy on the right. I was about ready to knock them guys out and they'd get out of my way. I can't preach with you guys. No, but what is it? They take what you are saying and then they translate it. Now, they take it from English, which is predominantly what I was speaking, and then they would come to Kiswahili or whatever language it'd be in Africa and Tamil in India, whatever it would be. So they would take that and translate so they would move it. Glory! They would move it because the people sitting there, they heard the words I said, but it made no sense to them because they did not understand English. So they translated what I said. Don't you see the shout, the voice, the trumpet? It is the power of translation to the bride. The rest of the world will never even know it when she goes. So God translated him. But I love this. For before his translation, he had this testimony. He was mean as a snake. Nobody couldn't stand to be around him. He had the office attitude ever was. That guy. Look at this word testimony. A good report. To affirm that one has seen or heard or experienced something. Amen. So he has this testimony, this report, my, that he knows it because taught by divine revelation or inspiration. So before the bride goes in a rapture, not just Brother Branham, not just Brother Donnie, not just the preachers, every one of you have got to have the same testimony, the exact same one. You please God. It's very simple, friends. Oh my, we went through the different cycles and all this and the message and we tried to make the rapture and faith this and that and the other and we've complexed it and we've made it so many, many, many things. But it's a very simple thing. God requires one thing of you. Doesn't this say that Enoch was a theologian? It doesn't even tell us how deep he was in the Word. It don't tell us how much he understood about future events. But what Paul felt led to emphasize was that this man had a testimony. And this was the testimony that he pleased God. Okay, now if I sit here now, the last 30 minutes of my sermon, I'm going to stop and we want people who has a real burning testimony to stand up and testify. People say, well, I want to thank God for saving me. I want to thank God for healing me. I want to thank God for doing this, that, and the other. I'm going to thank God. Now, the evidence that you have of that is in your body, of course, you're healed or God moved in your life and the change. But this testimony can only be vindicated by God himself. Since this is the one that it's to. It's not in our sense of, well, I went down to the ER and I had a kidney stone and they prayed for me and that thing passed right down. And I thank God for it too. I had cancer and I had this and here's the x-ray to show it. But here, this testimony has to do with God only. So his testimony is that he pleases God. Not me, not you. It wasn't a healing, it wasn't a miracle that everybody could see with their eye. But it involved only God. So now it's up to God to vindicate the testimony. So God vindicated his testimony and took it. They might have believed and hoped and thought that Enoch had this testimony. But after he left, they knew. It's a little bit late, but they knew. Now notice God God's vindication. God himself said, you so please me. And what you do, the way you act, the way you talk, the way you treat people. I am so pleased with you. I'm going to take you home. Lord Jesus. Now I want you to think and be very serious. How many of us in this building today, from here back, can say that God is pleased with you? I'm afraid to be quiet. The Lord have mercy. I didn't know that would be that quiet. Now, can you imagine that a mortal can live in such a way that Almighty God looks at that man, woman, boy, or girl and says, you please me. I'm pleased with you. Your attitude under trials, your tests, your faithfulness, you please me. I'm pleased with the way you do. Friend, what greater thing could you and I have? What's being a rich man or an important man compared to that? There'll be many rich folks in hell. There'll be many so-called important people in hell. What's it really value? And we spend so much time on things that are so irrelevant to eternal life. What about this? Is not this really the most important thing that we're on earth for? And this man was not even born again. But yet he walked the walk and talked the talk and lived the life and behaved in a way that God said, you please me. Now those of you parents who have children, whenever your children, whether they currently do it or have done it in the past, they do things that pleases you. What do you want to do? To reward them. To be nice. Oh, that was so nice of you. I mean, you went and made up your bed and I didn't have to count the 382 this time. I generally have to count the 500. Oh, you're doing better. What does it do to your parents or even grandparents? Whenever they please you and they do something and you want to reward them. Enoch so pleased God that God said, I want to give you something special. Now for Erica's four little kids, for them it's going to Wendy's. And I know some of you sugar people, hold your ears. Going to Wendy's and getting a chocolate frosty. Hey, that calms all storms. That calms all arguments. It's unbelievable how much miracle workers chocolate frosties are. If you girls will be good, Poppy will take you for a frosty. And the deep peace settles over the house. Oh, I can see from your laugh that some of y'all can relate to what I'm saying. I'm not the only one that tries to buy peace and quiet. And it's well worth the cost. So what do you do? Girls, if you'll eat your dinner. Girls, if you'll do this. Girls, if you'll do that. As me and Carol took them through the drive-thru last Sunday, and we bought them a hamburger, and they wanted to frost it at the same time. I said, no, not at the same time. Y'all eat your hamburger, and then we'll go back to the drive-thru again. Which is crazy on my part. But anyway, here we come in 30 minutes or 45 minutes, and this woman's looking at me again. I'm ordering four more things. She's probably thinking, this poor guy. But you realize, what does it do? It was a reward. They ate the hamburger, they ate the french fries, and they acted sort of normal, you know, in this day for kids. They sort of behaved in a normal way. So what did I do? They pleased me. And I wanted to please them. All right. Enoch pleased God, and God wanted to please Enoch. And God knew Enoch so well, he didn't even have to ask him.
Right.
what would please him most. I know you, Enoch. I know you. So I'm going to make a special thing for you that's never happened before. But it will happen again. In mass number the next time. You have pleased me so much. Today, I'm going to please you. Buckle your car seat. We're going through the fly-through. Oh, glory. You've pleased me so well. I want to please you. He didn't have to pray about it. He didn't have to say, no, Lord, let me think this thing through. Now, I'm not sure I'm ready to go. I'm still relatively young, 365 years old. My goodness, you know, many of my predecessors lived 910, 930, 969. Methuselah's going to live all them years. Man, I'm just a third of my age. Couldn't you give me just a little bit more time? Couldn't it be a whole lot more fun? He said, oh, yeah, the fly through. With you? Me? You want to go? I do. What do I need to do, God? What do I do in the new special? Do I need to get rid of them videos I've been looking at that have been right that you know, filthy and all that sort of thing? I need to clean that up. You know, I've never done that. This country music, Lord, I've been sneaking around and I'm acting like I'm listening to Taste of Verdi. It's really rock and roll. Mom and Dad don't know what it is. That thing is Brother Brown. That thing is Brother Donnie. Do I need to straighten up the day of? You know, I didn't behave that way. God said, I don't want you to change nothing today. Let's just walk.
Amen.
The walk wasn't something new for Enoch. The walk wasn't something out of the ordinary. Man, he's reading his Bible. My Lord, the end of time is near. Dear God, he's going to church more than once a month. Oh Lord, the end of time is here. Oh my, that's a shame when people see that out of us and they know there's something wrong. That's awful. When they see us praying over our food, they notice there's something about us. That's not Enoch. God, do I need to wait and pray and pray and wait for rapture and faith? Enoch, you have rapture and faith. I do? Yes. This walk that you've been walking will lead you. All the rapture will be, Enoch, will be one more step in this walk. Where normally you place it here, I'll place it here. And then the next one will be here and on and on and on and on.
Amen.
It's not like it's some great something that's going to come and make you a different person. This is why I'm doing this for you.
Amen.
You have pleased me.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Lord Jesus. Notice this. Paul says that he pleased God. And yet this man did not even have one verse of scripture. There was no book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, 1st and 2nd Samuel, on and on. He had not one scripture written down that he could read at night. He had no church, as far as a church of truth to go to. No pastor to encourage him. No one to pray for him when he was down. What a man. But somehow he had a revelation of the will of God. You see, the rapture to Enoch became a revelation. It wasn't something he could read. It wasn't something he could hear on a tape or go to a church and hear a pastor say a magical spell. And all of a sudden Enoch got it. It was revealed to him. You're going. And that revelation got in his feet. And it got in his mouth. And it got in his ears. And it got in his eyes. And that revelation was translated into a life. You see, before we take a translation, the revelation must be a translation. Lord have mercy. He was so conscious of the divine presence of the sovereign God. And it was not painful to him. It was not grievous to be born. He loved it.
Amen.
He loved it. Oh, Enoch embodied this great revelation. Notice this in Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. Paul says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Now this is not talking to sinners so they can walk worthy enough to get saved. But this is after you're a Christian, that you can walk a life so worthy with God that you can be worthy of the Lord's company. His presence, Brother Dow. That Jesus would rather be around you than Gabriel. God have mercy. Lord Jesus. Friends, what is this message all about? Is it to produce a bunch of theology? A bunch of doctrine that we fuss and fight and argue and debate over? That's what we've done for years. Is not this to get our hearts in this kind of relationship with God? That the Lord Jesus would love you so much and love being around. You know how that is? There's people you love to be around. You absolutely love to be around them just because of the atmosphere they create. Can you imagine Jesus feeling that way about us? But the Almighty felt that way about Enoch. He couldn't wait for their afternoon stroll. Maybe Enoch go along. I come to the garden alone, but I won't stay that way long, 'cause I know my Father will be near me. 'Cause He loves to come here too. Here we share us two, His heart and mine are one. And He walks with me. Glory. The angels looked around heaven and said, where's Papa? Down there walking in the garden with Enoch. Don't he know we got important things to do? There ain't nothing more important than him. He looks down there in the garden waiting on him. That means everything to him. Paul says that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Oh. You imagine walking in all good pleasing, and then verse 20 turns around to the children and says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Do you realize it does not take great, deep, profound things to please God? When you children obey your parents, God smiles on you. And that pleases Him. You want to get God's attention? It's not an Easter hat. It's not a new dress. It's not a $500 suit. Brother Ben said, what gets the bridegroom's attention is when the bride keeps that word. You want to get Jesus' attention? Keep His word. It pleases Him. Oh my. 1 John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Don't raise your hand now, but how many of you, every day of your life, is this before you? Every moment, every hour, every week, every month. It's not about what's best for you. It's not about even what's fair. Life ain't fair. Lots of things ain't fair. Real true Christian don't even think on the terms of fair. You'll never find that word in God's Bible. You'll never find that in God's thinking. God don't think on the terms of fair. If He did, all of us would be in hell burning up this morning. God thinks on the terms of grace, not fair.
Well, it ain't fair. I said, it ain't fair. It ain't fair. You need to get that trash mouth out of your vocabulary. It ain't fair. I got to give up this. It ain't fair. You ain't never had to give up heaven. You ain't never had to give up the praise of angels. You ain't never had to give up all he had to give up. Don't talk to me about fair. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah.
Lord Jesus. Amen. Listen to this. Brother Bram says the greatest pleasure that the believer has is know he's living or doing something that's pleasing the Lord. Now I want you to think about yourself, friends. If this is not your life, what I just described, you need to come to God today in a very earnest way and say, Lord, help me. I'm missing something in my walk. Now I want you to think. This is what your prophet said. The same one that said about the thunders and the seals and all the rest of these things. Said that the greatest pleasure that a believer has is knowing that he's living or doing something that's pleasing the Lord. Is that your greatest pleasure today? Does that bring you more pleasure than anything else in the world? If not, you better ask God to help you. I'm not done, but I feel from His presence right now be a good place to stop. Let's just bow our heads. Lord Jesus, rapturing faith. I wonder, friends, if we haven't made it something really that it isn't. And something that it is, we don't want it because it's too simple. A walk with God. A daily walk. Just doing things that pleases Him. You say, what are you talking about? Bring it down to everyday life. So I don't understand it, Brother Donnie. Well, it's just the way you live. It's the kind of attitude you have. It's what you post on your Facebook site when you're trashing somebody in the church. Or you're running down somebody else because you figure you can do it on Facebook. It don't make any difference where you do it. It's still wrong to gossip and tell lies. Facebook don't sanctify all of our trash and our nonsense. Some of y'all be better off if you didn't even have it from what I hear. And some of y'all ain't got no more sense than some of the stuff you put on it. I wonder about your maturity. You empty out your lives like a garbage can and tell everybody what in the world you're doing. If I preach on you, you get mad and you go home and put it on Facebook and think everybody ought to rejoice. Do you think you're so important that people are waiting to hear that you cooked a pineapple upside down cake? And you're going to have strawberry jello with it? Who do you think you are? Do you think that stuff pleases Jesus? Do you think us, friend, not reading our Bible, not praying, not fulfilling His word, do you think that pleases Him? Do you think you're so wrapped up in your business and what you are, that's what pleases Him? When Brother Branham says the Lord Jesus, when He was here on the earth, didn't even please Himself. What's most important? For a singer to sing because they want to be pleased themselves, or to bless the church? What's the most important thing for a preacher? To preach because he wants to preach, or preach because he blesses the church? What's the most important thing for you in coming to the house of God, living your life? Is it pleasing you or pleasing God? You see, Enoch never had the testimony that it pleased himself. Because he would have never went in the rapture if he did. Because whether you'll say amen to this or like it or not, it's the truth. You cannot please yourself and please God at the same time. It's totally impossible. Because ourselves, this old flesh I'm talking about, is not converted. And it'll lean toward the world and the things of the world every time. Rapturing faith. I wonder, since rapturing faith lays in the Holy Ghost, and those of you who have the Holy Ghost today, I wonder if we don't squelch and hold back the releasing of that power simply out of just some very, very simple things. We don't please the Lord. We don't please Him in the way we live and the way we talk. Oh, it don't mean we're not Christians. Don't mean we're on our way to hell. When your children displease you, are you ready to put them up for adoption? When your grandchildren displease you, your grandparents, you ready to take them to drop them off down at the Goodwill store? Like you give away a piece of something or other you don't like no more? You ready to give up your kids and put them up for adoption just because they displeased you? Your boy acted up in church, your daughter done something, and you get them in the car and say, that displeased me very much. You should not have done that. And because of that, I'm going to drop you off down at the orphanage. I ain't taking you home, me no more. But you correct them. And you tell them, Mama don't want you to do that. Daddy don't want you to do that. Now from now on, I want you to do thus and so and thus and so and thus and so. And that's the way Jesus does us. He'll tell us, I don't want you doing this. I don't want you doing that. I don't like it when you have that attitude. I don't like it when you do this. And then he expects us to do as you expect your children to do. Behave differently from that point on. Rapturing faith. Can't you see why most message people put it exterior from themselves? They put it apart from themselves. Or it'll be this tape. It'll be this certain thing. It'll be going to this church. It'll be hearing this man. It'll be doing this, that, and the other. Why? Because in all reality, they lack confidence in their own walk with God. To know that it could not come from within them where they currently are. Think of it, friends. Lord Jesus, I must say I'm surprised at the way you directed me today. In my view, I thought this service would be more of a rejoicing type of service. But I found it so many times that when I please you, I displease me. How many times have I studied and preached and you give me inspiration? I think in my mind, because you don't always let a preacher know how the delivery will be. But you give him thoughts and give him a certain element of orchestration to that, and then he will follow the leading of the Spirit of God as he gets there. How many times, Lord, as I stood down at Brother Jason some time back and to start preaching, I started a certain way and had quotes and scriptures and things laying before me. I tried my best to pull it in a certain way, but I couldn't to save my life. And then I recognized you didn't want it going that way. You wanted it going another way. And you know me. You know it displeased me. You know that I felt somewhat let down when I started going that way. But because it pleased you, I kept following you. And I saw the outcome was so much greater than had it went the way I thought it should go. Help each of us, Lord Jesus, to realize that. When people say things to us and treat us bad, and we're tempted to say things, get in the flesh and do this or say that or whatever more, may we ask ourselves a simple question. If I answer them in this tone of voice, will it please Jesus? If I post this on Facebook about brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so and so-and-so and so, is that really pleasing to the Lord? If I say this or do this, or if I go here or go there, is this pleasing to the Lord? I realize many of our message people don't even think this way. This is very foreign to them. Sad to say, from some of the people here in this church, because they're so wrapped up in their self and their family and their living and their future in this natural world. And for some of them, it may end this afternoon in a car wreck. God, we want to be ready. So if a car wreck comes our way, we'll have just completed our walk and we crossed over the line, the point of no return. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord. And maybe we'd like to be remembered in prayer. Would you raise your hand to God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Wes, would you come pray over the people, please? I want you to hold your need, your request, your desire in your heart.
Father, we bow before you knowing there's a substance here that we can take hold of.
Lord Jesus.
For faith is a substance. It's something that we hold in our heart and even our hands as we walk through this world, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
Lord. Lord, my love for my brothers and sisters is so strong, but it doesn't even compare to yours.
Yes, Lord.
the relationship you desire to have with us, Lord. You make it so clear. The fact that my God will come and stand before his people and humble himself down and reach his hands out and say, come to me. I love you. Give me your love.
Lord Jesus.
The fact that you'll humble yourself in that way, Lord God, makes me love you even more.
Yes.
I long so much, Lord, for us to be together. I long so much for the wedding supper, Lord. Lord God, draw us together. Knit us together tightly, Lord, in love. Lord, in Christian love, hold us tightly together, Lord. Help us. Give us a revelation, Lord. We have brothers and sisters, Lord, who are struggling, who are searching and seeking for you, Lord. They want you so much. They want your baptism so much, Lord. Let them know that it's offered, Lord. They just have to receive it and take hold of it. It is a substance that can be held, Lord. It is one that can be received. It is one that can be handed from you to us. Lord, we willingly take it. We thank you so much. We bless your holy name. Lord God, I thank you so much for a place where I can come and you'll just speak to me. You'll just come right to my face and just talk to me.
Yes, Lord.
And tell me the truth and tell me the great mysteries, Lord, and break them down in such a way that I can see them before me. I love you, Father. I love you so much. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Don't let us ever take it for granted, Father. Bless your people. Be with us, Lord. Oh, Lord God, not just with us, but show us the strength of that substance inside of us, Lord. Let it break forth, Lord. Let it be seen. Let it break the darkness of this age, Lord. Let it break it wide open. We love you, Father. Go with us now, Lord. Pile revelation upon revelation. Lord God, for those lagging behind, don't leave the feeble or the halt behind, Lord. Bring them up to speed so we can walk out together, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. Let it be in Jesus' name we pray. Glory. Amen. God.
Hallelujah. Glorious. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. I want to ask you something. Look this way. Can you, by revelation, take Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, and remove, with reverence, Enoch's name, the third word out of verse 5, and put your own. By faith, Donnie was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Can you say that? Hallelujah. Could this be, friends? Could this be something so simple yet so profound that lays right there that'll be one of the keys that'll finish us up? Let's sing together. Let's stand, if you would. Hallelujah. I come to the garden alone. While the dew is still on the roof. Heavenly Father, if there's a breach in your walk today, you need something to straighten it out. I believe the Lord should have helped you. There's something you need, brother. One night it was the King. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's just sing just a little bit more in worship before we go. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Soon you're going to your throne, Esther. Hallelujah. One night with the King changes everything. Sing it, children. One day in his courts. Everybody now sing the chorus together. Oh, one night with the King changes everything. One day in his courts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. From the desert, oh, from the desert to the King, it had been my destiny to be chosen for such a time as this. I didn't know that all my dreams could become realities. Then I saw his face, his love captured me. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We worship you today, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Oh God, we worship you today. You're worthy, oh Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We want to live every day of our lives so they're pleasing to you, Lord. Grant it, I pray, Lord, with all of our hearts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How many wants to please him? Just raise your hand. Let him know, Lord. I want to please you. Nothing greater that God could give to me than the ability to please him. Hallelujah. I don't want to be rich, famous, important, none of the above. But if I can know when it's all said and done that I have pleased him. The first Adam pleased him, but then displeased him. But the second Adam, here he was walking on the earth, and the Spirit of God came down and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This is going to be the crescendo of the bride. "This is my wife, in whom I am well pleased." Praise the Lord. God bless you, children. Go in the fear of God. I love you so much. Thank the Lord for our short time to be together here. One day we'll be able to spend eternity together. Amen. Hey, sing that song for us. "I can't even walk without you holding my hand." God bless you as you go this afternoon for your lunch. Some of you driving a couple hours back home, wherever you're going. May God go with you. If we don't meet again, we'll meet in that other walk. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Lord, I can't even
listen to these words.
Without you holding my hand, Lord, the mountain too high and the valley. Sinking sand, but I